Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Formulaic Statistical Tables of Longevity Are Overcome in Jesus. It is interesting that more Americans are unsat or on some type of pill or medication than not. I'm going to be reading to you this morning from the Word of God, from the Gospel of John, which we will take as our primary source document for our discussion today. And I'm also going to be reading to you from a book entitled How Not, by Michael Greger, M.D. He is the founder of NutritionFacts.org. Dr. Greger also wrote this book with Gene Stone. And How Not to Die, of course, is about nutrition. And it reads also on the cover of the book of Discover the Foods Scientifically Proven to Prevent and Reverse Disease. Dr. Greger, in the introduction, points out some information that is critical for all of us to know and understand in the West. Yesterday, I was listening to the evening news broadcast, and we were talking about the rise in suicide among young people in the area called Palo Alto, California. And so they're going to, of course, dispatch counselors to deal with this growing trend and phenomenon. And, of course, one realizes that this report was skewed and that it is unlikely that there's going to be any research done and that is deep research into the causal factors in this disastrous phenomenon of teen suicide. Dr. Greger points out in his particular book that, but now this is the introduction, mind you, quote, our diet is the number one cause of premature death and the number one cause of disability. And he goes, surely diet must also be the number one thing taught in medical schools, right? Unquote. And then he goes on, and he says, sadly, it's not. According to the most recent national survey, only a quarter of medical schools offer a single course in nutrition, down from 37% years ago. While most of the public evidently considers doctors to be very credible sources of nutrition information, 6 out of 7 graduating doctors surveyed felt physicians were inadequately trained to counsel patients about their diets. One study found that people off the street sometimes know more about basic nutrition than their doctors, including physicians, should be more knowledgeable about nutrition than their patients. These results suggest that this is not necessarily true. Now, this estimation is very interesting. He goes on to say, to remedy this situation, a bill was introduced in the California State Legislature to mandate physicians to get at least 12 hours of nutrition training in any time over the next 4 years. It might surprise you to learn that the California Medical Association came out strongly opposed to the bill, as did other mainstream medical groups, including the California Academy of Family Physicians. The bill was amended from a mandatory minimum of 12 hours over 4 years down to 7 hours, and then doctored, one might say, down to zero. The California Medical Board does have one subject requirement, 12 hours on pain management and end-of-life care for the terminally ill. This disparity between prevention and mere mitigation of suffering could be a metaphor for modern medicine. A doctor a day may keep the apples away. Now, he goes on, a study of thousands of patient visits found that the average length of time primary care doctors spend talking about nutrition is about 10 seconds. But hey, this is the 21st century, he writes. Can't we eat whatever we want and simply take meds when we begin having health problems? For too many patients, and even my physician colleagues, this seems to be the prevailing mindset. Global spending for prescription drugs is surpassing $1 trillion annually, with the United States accounting for about one-third of this market. Why do we spend so much on pills? Many people assume that our manner of death is pre-programmed into our genes. High blood pressure by 55, heart attacks by 60, maybe cancer 70, and so on. But for most of the leading causes of death, science shows that our genes often account for only 10 to 20% of risk at most. For instance, as you'll see in this book, the rates of killers like heart disease and major cancers differ up to 100-fold among various populations around the globe. But when people move from low risk to high risk countries, their disease rates almost always change to those of the new environment. New diet, new diseases. So, while a 60-year-old American man living in San Francisco has about a 5% chance of having a heart attack within 5 years, should he move to Japan and start eating and living like the Japanese, his 5-year risk would drop to only 1%. Japanese Americans in their 40s can have the same heart attack risk as Japanese in their 60s. Switching to an American lifestyle, in effect, aged their hearts a full 20 years. Now, he goes on, the Mayo Clinic estimates that nearly 70% of Americans take at least one prescription drug. Yet despite the fact that more people in this country are on medication than aren't, not to mention the steady flux of ever newer and more expensive drugs on the market, we aren't living much longer than others. In terms of life expectancy, the United States is down around 27 to 28 out of the 34 top free market democracies. People in Slovenia live longer than we do. And the extra years we are living aren't necessarily healthy or vibrant. Back in 2011, disturbing analysis of mortality and morbidity was published in the Journal of Gerontology. Are Americans living longer now compared to about a generation ago? Yes, technically. But are those extra years necessarily healthy ones? No. And it's worse than that. We're actually living fewer healthy years now than we once did. Unquote. So I want to emphasize in this show what exactly has happened to us in the United States. Now, in my community, I am a member of the Board of Mental Health. And in one meeting, the head of the Department of Mental Health Services in our community said that within the next 20 years, we know that there will be a rise in both depression and anxiety disorders. So this is the trend, and this is a documented trend. And we see it happening in our community, and we see it happening throughout the communities in this country. And yet, there is the pretense broad that the way we live, quote unquote, is not killing us. There's an attempt to hide the fact that that lifestyle morbidity is not destroying us. And so, as I read through this book, How Not to Die, Dr. Greger goes on to talk about this. He writes this as well. Medical anthropologists have identified several major eras of human disease, starting with the age of pestilence and famine, which largely ended with the Industrial Revolution, or the stage we're in now, the age of degenerative and man-made diseases. This shift is reflected in the changing causes of death over the last century. In 1900 in the United States, the top three killers were infectious diseases, pneumonia, tuberculosis, and diarrheal disease. Now, the killers are largely lifestyle diseases, heart disease, cancer, and chronic lung disease. Is this simply because antibiotics have enabled us to live long enough to suffer from degenerative diseases? No. The emergence of these epidemics of chronic disease was accompanied by dramatic shifts in dietary patterns. This is best exemplified by what's been happening to disease rates among people in the developing world over the last few decades, as they've rapidly westernized their diet, In 1990, around the world, most years of healthy life were lost to undernutrition, such as diarrheal diseases in malnourished children. And now the greatest disease burden is attributed to high blood pressure, a disease of overnutrition. Unquote. I read a book a long time ago called Philosophy of Physics. It was written by Werner Heisenberg. The foreword of that book was very interesting because in the foreword of that book, I can't remember the name of the individual who wrote the foreword, but he states that when a country adopts our technologies, the country also adopts the inherent value of the nation that produced a certain technology which they have not adopted. And I always thought that was very poignant, that a nation that receives or takes on the technology that has been produced in the West also takes on the values of Western culture. And notice what Dr. Greger points out. Countries that become Westernized and take on Western diet, their longevity, their life expectancy, drops accordingly. But since we live within this culture, it is very difficult for us to see objectively what is going on. And I am a theologian, and so I am a Western theologian living in the United States. And I see what is going on. And I also see people do not see. And that self-understanding that people have today has largely been marketed to them. Whatever semblance of substance that remains in people has been marketed to them by who I term the corporate priests. There is an inherent idolatry in Western culture. And within that idolatry, the individual does not, the average person does not understand that the corporate environment mitigates true spirituality. And what is decidedly missing in the heart of the West, in the hearts of Westerners, is true spirituality. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we have these words. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, this statement made by Jesus is very powerful. And I like the fact that in the structure of the statement, Jesus points out what is most significant for the auditor to receive. He points to himself as the great I am of Exodus 3:14. Ego eimi. I am. This is a very important word in Hebrew and in English. We have, of course, once again, I am, and the I is in the emphatic position. I am present indicative, stating the fact. The light, not a light. The light. The word for light in Greek is phos, for which, of course, we get our term phosphorus and phosphorescence. Jesus says, I am the phos of the cosmos. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. See this darkness that Jesus speaks about here. And notice the language. Let the language penetrate into your heart. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The word here for darkness is skotia. Skotia is a very interesting term. Skotia is from the term skotus. And so skotia has the prevailing idea or of unhappiness or ruin. Of course, this term is used in John 8:12 and John 12:35 and 46. As light is not only the emblem of happiness, but also of beneficence, darkness or skotia represents unhappiness. John 12:35 and also in 1 John 2:11. And so therefore, skotia is not a figurative term for sin, but refers to the consequences of sin. The term sin has largely been lost in Western culture, such as and other vital theological terms, has been lost in Western culture. And so, what has been marketed to people is a religion without sacrifice, without the atoning death of Christ, without the forsaking of sin, without holiness, without mercy, but a religion of self-love, self-aggrandizement. In other words, a pathologically narcissistic religion of self. And it is this religion that has led to the people through the corrupt priests and is destroying the lives of people. And people cannot see what is going on with them. And so this is a very, very serious and poignant statement. Jesus said, I am the phos of the cosmos. He that followeth me shall not walk in. And so, in darkness or within the sphere of darkness, but shall have the light of life. Phos, as spoken of in this verse as light, phos is never kindled and therefore never quenched. He that followeth me shall not walk. Here we have what we call emphatic negation, shall not walk. Jesus states emphatically that this individual shall not walk in darkness or within the sphere of Scotia, in the sphere of unhappiness or in the sphere of ruin, but shall have the light of life. There are so many studies in alternative medicine that talks about the longevity and life satisfaction that accompanies a life of appropriate and bona fide and real spirituality as with God. But these studies are hidden, and the media will never talk about this research and these studies. Never. And so therefore, people will never have consciousness or awareness that these studies exist. And so learn how to change what is going on with them so that they can acquire life as real. Now, the actuarial tables in the West have been designed by insurance companies and others to point out statistically life expectancy of persons. You and I know this. And so from cradle to grave, certain things are marketed to us, but we rarely hear that which is ultimately meaningful and how to overcome the statistical tables on longevity. We overcome these things. These things are super overcome, I should say, in Jesus. He offers you life. He offers you life. Today, he offers you life right now. If you want to get off and get out of this Western lifestyle that is killing you and have a real life, then you must come to Jesus. Let him change your perspective. Let him change your insight so that you will begin to eat the Word of God. And as one consumes the Word of God, as one eats the Word of God, as one meditates upon the Word of God, your mind will change. Your heart will change. Your blood pressure will change. Your thoughts will change. What you want will change. And you will get off. And you will abandon the lifestyle of the West. You will have life in superabundance through Jesus. He still offers life today. You must come to Jesus and believe that he is who he says he is, that he died on the cross, he was buried and resurrected on the third day for your justification.